Well, hello there. It's Friday. I've got my feet up. That can only mean one thing.
Is it time for another laid-back, chilled-out, and relaxing podcast from the people at Side Podcast?
You know that just talking really slowly doesn't make you relaxed.
I got told off after the last Feet Up Friday for being ever so slightly too excitable.
Yeah,
and so I've laid off the Red Bull. I've been Red Bull free for a whole week.
We were ranting about things and all sorts, and we said perhaps we ought to take your blood pressure before we do the show, make sure it's at a certain level.
Good idea. I haven't done that this time. There was a suggestion, do you know what? I can't credit it to the right person because I forgot who it was, but they suggested that each show should come with a unique cocktail recipe, and we should enjoy that cocktail and encourage others when listening to try out the same cocktail and bring every podcast to you with a new cocktail recipe. So I haven't done it for this one, but I think in the future we might need to get suggestions sent in for the kind of thing you should drink and the kind of drink you should consume whilst listening to this very show.
Not that we encourage drinking, family show and all that. I do actually have a cocktail to drink. Because I am very lazy, I bought a ready mix cocktail and I'm drinking it from a beaker because I haven't got any of the right glasses or anything. It's
because
so depressing.
You're a child.
I know, it's really depressing. So
it's like a kid's cocktail.
We need help. We need help, definitely.
Any does it have a name?
It's just a Cosmopolitan, I think. Anyway, we should talk about Formula One because that's kind of what we do.
A lot's happened since the last Feet Up Friday. An awful lot has gone down.
Somehow we've managed to miss everything, really. I think, didn't we do the last one on the eve of the Australian Grand Prix? So we've missed both of the two races that have happened and all the news in between. Hopefully we're not going to recap all of it.
Well, no. What? My very first question to you, though, is, are you still enjoying Formula One this season? Because I am absolutely loving this year.
I do. I love this year. I dislike all the Bahrain stuff, which we'll probably mention later, but it's exactly the same as what happened last year, and it does put a dampener on things. But in terms of racing and F1 actual action, it's brilliant.
It's so good. It feels like 2008, 2009. There's so much going on. I'm loving the closeness of the racing. We have one of the slowest cars on the grid right at the top of the championship standings. How has that worked out? That is the Formula One we know and love, isn't it? That kind of topsy-turvy table.
Yeah, well, I was setting up some of the bits and pieces, like the race information thread for China, and going through the results from last year, it was Vettel this, Vettel that, Vettel practice 1, 2, 3, whatever.
Boring.
And then I thought, actually, this year, I haven't even thought about Vettel since like the first race. He's just been nowhere, and it's so mixed up. It's brilliant.
The domination is over, and the rules have been changed for the better. Year on year, people fiddle with technical regulations for sometimes for no reason whatsoever. But this year, the changes were made. They scuppered Red Bull's advantage, and they're suffering. Now it's McLaren are the fastest cars on the grid, and somehow the Ferrari takes a win. And, you know, in that slow bus.
I'm surprised that all the attention has been on Mercedes and their potentially illegal rear wing that
it's
is not
even potentially
not illegal.
It's fine.
Illegal.
I think it's a great design. I love the concept of that rear trick wing.
I'm surprised that all the attention has been on them when they haven't been winning. I would have thought everyone would be staring at that McLaren more.
Well, that's true. There is well, the thing is, I was watching free practice. I've got my days. What was it today? Free practice
this
today.
This morning, yes.
I've been to sleep since then, but
it's
free practice
Friday today.
Yes. But I slept between free practice and when recording this. But yes, McLaren were running a vast aero rig at the rear of the car. So even though they have the fastest machine out there, they are not resting on their laurels. And it may be that they don't even understand quite why they are so fast. I think they still have a lot of learning to do there. But they've lucked into a fantastic design and it's going to give us a great season.
I don't think McLaren ever do rest on their laurels, really. They're always always pushing forward, aren't they? Which is excellent. I should just point out here and now that in that last Feet Up Friday, I think I talked about the predictions that my boss and I had made, and we both predicted Button for that win in Australia. And
I mocked you.
Look what happened.
I mocked you Woo-hoo. For that.
Although, having said that, we didn't have a show for this, but I did tweet that for Malaysia, my boss and I both predicted that Hamilton would win, and yeah, he didn't.
No, he didn't, but we can blame that on the weather. It may not be a dry race in China either, but do you fancy going again for the predictions?
Well, we discussed it today, and he is sticking with his McLarens. So far, it's been McLaren all the way for him, but he's cheating a little bit because he said if it is dry, Hamilton, and if it's wet, Button. So that's hedging his bets a little bit. Me, I went for Schumacher, and I don't know why.
To win?
Yeah, I don't know why, and
now I am going to mock you.
I have no reason for
Michael
it.
Michael Schumacher?
Yeah.
In the Mercedes?
The one and only Michael Schumacher in the Mercedes. I have no explanation. Some people say he's good in the wet. I don't know.
I cannot imagine a situation where the Mercedes is going to be fast in the
Could
race.
Could you have imagined a situation where Alonso would have won a race? No.
No, but okay, fine. I'm still going to mock you. And if you're right, I will cry anyway.
Well, this is true. It's lose-lose.
I can't win this. Yeah. Mercedes have an issue with their tyres, and I don't know if they could possibly have got to the bottom of that in the interim period between the last race and this one.
There was 3 weeks.
Break. Yeah, but no track running.
A very weird 3 week break between back-to-back races.
It's not the first time that Formula One's done that. I do recall having a very similar discussion with you on a previous podcast a few years back when we said, why is it the season just gets going and it just starts to be interesting and then everybody packs their bags and goes home and has a holiday?
It's actually just like the races themselves where we watch the first couple of laps and then we watch all the replays. We're not going to go over everything that happened in those two races because it was like a month ago. But there was one thing that really proved the difference between the kind of fan that I am and the kind of fan that you are. And that was Perez and his amazing drive to the podium in Malaysia. Because at the end of it, you were bitterly disappointed that he'd thrown it away and didn't get the win because you'd been desperate for him to win.
Mm.
Whereas I was just satisfied that he managed to get home on the podium because I was desperate for him not to lose it.
So you had no faith in Perez, which was almost borne out.
I have no faith in the underdog, really. Because I'm British and I have experience of these things.
It was a great underdog story, and my heart was in my mouth when the guy threw his car off the track in the most spectacular way. I mean, he was very close to just beaching that thing, and you know, he was inches away from ending his race there. But I desperately wanted to see a Sauber win. That's been such a long time coming, and he almost made it happen, but it was not to be. But the guy didn't give up. And Perez has gone up a lot in everybody's estimation, mine included. But yes, I'm glad that he got to the finish, but I wish it was in first place.
Not everyone's estimation, because I do know of some people that dislike Alonso quite a lot, so they were quite annoyed at Perez because he should have taken that win from him.
You cannot begrudge Fernando Alonso winning a Formula One race in that car. It's awful.
It's a pretty shocking car.
Have you seen Felipe Massa driving it? The car is dreadful. And to haul that machine up to where he did, I mean, you just cannot begrudge him. Whatever he's done in the past, whatever he's done to annoy you, you cannot hold that against him when he can work magic like he did on Sunday in that Ferrari.
It is very telling when even in the press conference they say, yeah, so the win is great, thanks very much, but nothing's changed. The car's still rubbish.
The car sucks. It looks awful to drive. Poor Felipe Massa is having a terrible time. And it doesn't help that Fernando Alonso is at least managing to get something out of it. The car just looks unstable in every single corner. I don't think I saw it hit an apex in practice today.
It rained a little bit today in Shanghai. I think tomorrow is supposed to be dry and then rain again for Sunday. So it could be a really exciting race. Another
one. Still sticking by Schumacher's prediction.
Ah, you know, I don't know.
I cannot wait till Sunday.
I've just seen a headline on Autosport that says Rosberg expects tyre issues in China, so that doesn't fill me with great hope.
It would have to be an incredibly shortened race for Mercedes to do anything. That car goes backwards faster than it goes forwards.
Is it too late to change my mind?
Always.
There's been plenty of other controversial news.
Pick a story.
Well, you see, the Lotus thing.
There are many. There are so many Lotus things.
The group Lotus thing.
The group, that's the press release.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, that actually hid what for me was a bigger story, and that was Bernie Ecclestone being a fool.
You say fool. You don't mean fool. Fool is the polite term.
Yeah.
You're talking about the statement in the Williams press release announcing the signing of What, development driver? What's the word for it? It's not third driver, it's fourth driver. Fourth driver is the word I'm looking for.
Susie Wolf, otherwise known as Susie Stoddart.
Yes, and Bernie Eccleston got his oar in for some random reason. Why
was he even in the press release? It's got nothing to do with him.
We know that Adam Parr recently stepped down, and the rumours surrounding the his departure was that there was a falling out between
him. You mean Joe says?
And others. Joe says and others. The Adam Parr left the team after a disagreement with Bernie Eccleston, and Frank Williams sided with Bernie. And now you have Mr. Eccleston quoted in a press release, an official team press release, for the announcement of their fourth driver, which is very, very peculiar.
Since when have Frank and Bernie been BFFs?
Well, since always. They go back a long way, but it feels like Bernie very much wants people to know that he's got a say in things. He wants it to be public. He's not keen to be pulling the strings in the background. He wants it to be very public. You know, the team are struggling, but they have Bernie's backing.
Yeah,
but that's like a coded warning to other teams, I think.
That's weird on very many levels, because I don't believe he is the one that pulled this string, because Susie Wolf, married to Toto Wolf, who is a director, chairman, investor, all of the above,
right,
at Williams. So apparently he recused himself from the board decision that made her the development driver. But, you know, that's a bit of a coincidence, isn't it? Also, the only thing he had to say was that she is very pretty, and I hope she does as well in the car as she looks as good out of it. I mean, rude.
This could be a classic Bernie diversion tactic in order to put the focus on him instead of the focus on Bahrain, which is where most of the news stories have been
centered. He could have just waited and Lotus would have done that for him.
Well, he didn't know that was... No one could have known that was going to happen.
Can't predict that.
So it could be that could be the purpose. I don't... I mean, Bernie is an old... He's an old person. I mean, he's an aged gentleman, let's say.
Elderly.
And he speaks like perhaps your ancient granddad might speak in ways that are no longer acceptable in the modern day, but it's still acceptable to old people because that's, you know, that's how they've always viewed the world.
You know, on top
they
of
haven't
being
kept up and moved on.
On top of being good looking, she's also very intelligent, as a side note.
I mean, I'm embarrassed by almost everything that comes out of Bernie's mouth, but you can forgive him for being old and out of touch.
Okay. Time to step down then, isn't it?
What I cannot forgive is the Williams press team for not censoring or sub-editing that out of the press release.
Also true.
That shows a significant lack of backbone and understanding, especially as the press officer is female.
Yeah, although maybe she's busy with her board duties now because she was promoted, wasn't she? But yeah, that is a good point that actually I hadn't thought of. Williams have definitely gone down in my estimation now. Someone tried to mitigate for Bernie a little bit by saying, well, he can't really say that about the men because, you know, he's not gay, he doesn't like men in that way. But he shouldn't be saying that about anyone.
Because he's out of touch. But he's old. You got to look at it from the we look at the world through different eyes to how generations before us look at the world, because that's how we've been brought up. And Bernie has no reason to have been educated in that way. He doesn't.
Well, except for the fact that he manages a multinational cutting edge sport.
But he doesn't manage.
Well, he sticks his oar in a lot.
No, listen, he doesn't manage a cutting edge sport. He dictates over a cutting edge sport, and therefore he answers to nobody, and nobody would ever turn around to Bernie and say, that's a bit out of line. Could you say something else? I mean, it was a very deliberate statement. He obviously did it for a reason. It was incredibly well placed, and it managed to deflect some criticism of him about the Bahrain situation. So he achieved that much, and I do think it was a coded warning to other teams that, you know, I have some say in this Williams thing, and when the Concorde Agreement comes around, well, you know, they're on my side.
We did have an interesting conversation as a result of the signing, not so much the press release, because I asked, who do you think will get more seat time, Susie or Maria De Valotta, who was, which team is she with?
Marussia.
Because from the press releases, it seemed as though Maria was going to get some Friday practice time.
Even though I don't believe it
will happen, but that's the way they sort of spun it.
She might get a young driver test.
Whereas it seemed like Susie will be more in the simulator. That's how it felt. But you had an interesting idea that there may be a new breed of driver on the horizon.
Well, Marussia have hit on, and maybe they've lucked into, or maybe this was a deliberate strategy from them, they've lucked into a new PR angle. And that is, since we in the UK have this ongoing fight for who can deliver the best Formula One coverage between Sky TV and the BBC. There is more demands on teams in the paddock to provide spokespersons. Drivers and team bosses and anybody who's anybody, any name in the paddock is coming under increased pressure to have something to say, to have a soundbite to deliver, constantly available to deliver to these TV channels. And I think Marussia. I think what they've done by bringing Maria on, they've provided some interest to TV channels because, you know, do you want to speak to Charles Pick, who doesn't speak great English? And doesn't have a lot to say, and he's new, and you know, and he's busy doing his what he's got to be doing, and he needs to be concentrating and stuff. Do you want to speak to him, or would you rather speak to Maria? And time again, I think they're going to turn to Maria. And so, what you really got is this new breed of, or this new need from teams to have public faces that can answer questions and that can appear on television and don't have any other pressures during the weekend and can focus on being a great frontman to the team. Since Virgin, Marussia, my brain is not on today. Since Marussia lucked into this, I suspect other teams have looked around and thought, actually, that's not a bad idea. And there may now, or there may soon be, a scramble for drivers who are currently not contracted to teams, who don't mind flying around the world and having their face put on television, who happen to be adept at speaking to the media. And if they're good looking too, that's a bonus. So you may find that female drivers or drivers who are brilliant in front of the camera, like Karun Chandhok, are suddenly in demand. It doesn't only have to be female drivers, but I suspect if you, in the case of Susie, she might suddenly find a lot of interest coming from different teams. They might all, you know, be calling her up and saying, hey, do you want to be the Maria of our team? And if you're Mr. Wolf, and you're an investor in Williams, and you find that your wife is about to wander off to a competitor's team because they are desperate to have a front person, you know, be in front of the cameras, you're going to say to the team, hey, we need one of these two, and we need Susie. Because it's the obvious place for her to go if you have this need. You don't want her to turn up at McLaren because, you know, that's a competitor, and people will ask questions as why she's at McLaren. So if there is this need for this new person, this new role that's just literally been invented this year, then she's the right fit. And I can see that's exactly why she's ended up at Williams, to stop her going to anyone else.
We don't know that she is brilliant in front of the camera and a great spokesperson for the team. I mean, I can totally see that a need for this role would appear, but I think we've already seen it with, like, Chandhok was always talking to the media. Whenever they needed someone from Caterham, they would roll him out.
Yes, they would. Which is why I think it was a mistake to let him go.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, he was great. Everyone seems like, well, most people seem to like him. He wasn't that good a driver, but he was great at talking about it.
Quite like Maria, actually.
Yeah, he was often on Five Live. But I don't know if we've seen that these two are that role.
Well, we've seen...
It makes me uncomfortable that they're both women as well. Is that what the women are for? Just parading them out in front of the press?
I think if you give a television director or producer the choice between talking to Charles Pick or Maria, he's going to pick Maria every single time because female drivers are unusual. So that's an angle. There aren't that many women on television. When you're showing Formula One coverage, how many women do you see? You see Jensen's girlfriend, you see Lewis's girlfriend, and you see
better a driver than a girlfriend
from Salva. There's very few, and so it's something different. And we know almost every single Mercedes PR event we've ever been to, Susie has turned up.
Yeah,
saw her at the Mercedes-Benz day.
Sitting next to Paul.
She's been at every autosport we've ever attended.
Yeah.
She's very good. She's very eloquent at speaking. She knows motorsport inside out. She's not a brilliant driver. I mean, I don't think... How many years has she been in DTM now?
Seven. This is her seventh.
She's been in there 7 years. Has she ever been on the podium? I don't think she's ever got a podium position, let alone a win. So she's not a world-class driver, but she knows what she's talking about. And
that's just like Chandhok.
The thing is, if you're McLaren and you've got Gary Paffett in your team, Gary Paffett is a great third driver. He's a great super sub for anybody. And if you're another if McLaren have shown a willingness to loan out their, not rent
a driver.
Rent a driver, yeah. Okay, McLaren have started a business in, you know, have started their own rent-a-driver business with De La Rosa last year and Parfitt this year. And so if you're a team and you don't need a third driver necessarily, because if one of your drivers is taken ill, you couldn't call on McLaren to provide one for you. Why not bring along a PR driver when there's no chance they're ever going to sit in a car? You're covered regardless, thanks to McLaren. It just seems to me that it's the right thing to do. It's a good way to go. Well, to ease the demands on everybody else.
Even if you weren't going to use McLaren's rent-a-driver, the opportunities for reserve drivers to have a seat. I mean, drivers very rarely get ill or step down.
Bottas is Williams's third driver, and he was in the car in free practice one today, and Susie was on the sidelines watching. Now, I can't see, other than perhaps at Goodwood, that she's going to get much time in an actual Williams Formula One car this year. I don't for 1 second think she'll be a super sub. I don't think she'll get any Friday drives, but it doesn't matter. That's not what she's been employed to do. She's been employed, I think, not to be employed by another Formula One team. And we'll see if the cards line up. I could be completely wrong here, but I can see that happening. I can see more people. There is an increased demand, no question, this year. There is a greater demand on teams to be seen on television answering questions, thanks to Sky. Sky have turned up with so many reporters. They've got so many hours and hours and hours of coverage to fill. The only way of filling it, as far as I can tell, is just to keep putting people on screen. And therefore, you know, teams want to be on screen. Teams aren't going to turn around and say, no, we don't want free promotion. We don't want our sponsors to be on television. But at the same time, they don't have, you know, Mike Gascoigne has better things to be doing than talking to the media all day over and over again, because they have to talk to Sky Sports, and then Sky News come along and they have to talk to Sky News, and then the BBC want in because Sky have just spoken to them on two channels, so the BBC want a piece of them too. And then, you know,
and that's just in the UK.
That's just one television station. Sorry, that's just one country. Yeah, that's not even, you know, that's on top of all the other countries and all the other demands they've already had. But we know that the BBC and Sky are in a fierce competition to provide the best coverage. And if they find that some person has been interviewed already, you know, the rival is going to come along and interview them too. That's just the way it goes. You'll see that all this year.
While we're on the subject of Sky, I think possibly since the last time we did a show, we signed up to their $4.99 a month iPhone version. And it's small.
I find it the most awful thing in the world, and I've already unsubscribed. Resubscribing
it
next year. Why do you like it?
Because it's Sky and I get to see it.
It's over a minute behind live timing.
It has issues.
More than 60 seconds. That's nearly a lap behind the action.
I'd rather watch the official one than try scrabbling around for an online stream.
That's true. It is incredibly cheap. $4.99 for
all the Sky Sports channels.
And ESPN most of the time, although a couple of things are blocked.
And they don't just do Formula One, they also do football. And we watched 10-pin bowling. It was amazing.
Who knew there
was professional 10-pin bowling?
Yes.
I'm going to start training.
Just so small and it's just so far behind. I think we are we're slowly working our way through all the Sky options. This is the cheapest one. We could invest in Sky Go before the next show. You never know. And then eventually I still think at some point we are going to end up signing up to the proper full-on package. But it is nice this weekend to have Formula One back on our television.
On the BBC.
First time this year. So that's good. I enjoyed watching the big screen.
Yeah.
For a change.
It does make a difference. What do you think of the actual coverage? I know it was on a tiny screen, but last time we were talking about the preview we'd seen, and this time we've actually seen coverage.
Sorry, I was drinking there. what do I think of what the packages that Sky are producing?
Yeah.
Well, I think last time I argued that there was too much coverage and you couldn't possibly watch it all. And since signing up to the new the low-cost entry package, I've noticed there's nothing on there but adverts for how good their coverage is going to be. So I wonder...
There's a lot of repetition.
Yes. Right now, I really do question whether or not it needed a channel and whether you couldn't have just put Formula One on one of the already existing four Sky Sports stations. I know they wanted to make a big push and to show the commitment to it, to the cause, but actually there is not enough Formula One content throughout the year to fill an entire channel. Just isn't.
We are only two races in, so I don't know if the more races they have in their back catalogue, the more different things they'll show. But at the moment, the last time I was looking, I checked the schedule every now and again, and it was like, here's the qualifying highlights, and then here's the race highlights, and then here's some interview with a legend, and then here's the qualifying again, and here's some GP2, and then it just cycled through the same thing over and over again.
There was a point after subscribing that I had memorized the entire of Martin Brundle's grid walk word for word, and I saw the same interview with Verne maybe 4 dozen times.
You know, there's an off
just
button.
On and on. Well, every time I just, what's on the channel now? Oh, it's the grid walk. What's on the channel now? It's still the grid walk.
There was a moment where we kept on coming back and it was exactly the same point. Yeah. And we were like, aren't they showing anything else?
It was Martin Brundle talking to Jean-Eric Verne on the grid in Melbourne every single time.
At least 3 times.
It was very odd. And at which point you think, well, I think it got too much. We shall watch it unfold. I need it on a bigger screen. I know that you don't mind it, but it's good enough coverage for you to fact box the previous Grand Prix, which is impressive, but it's not good enough for my liking.
It's a little bit of a scaled down fact box because some of the numbers were a bit small to read.
Formula One on your mobile phone has its place, just not in my life. I need big, not small.
More big news this week was that the FIA finally made a decision about Bahrain and said it will go ahead. All the security is in place that they want to see, and they are happy with it.
They might
be the only ones.
Before we came on air. On air?
Before we came on air, like a radio show.
Before we settled down to record this podcast, it was announced that Finnish broadcaster MTV3 would not be attending the Bahrain Grand Prix and instead would run their coverage from a television studio back home. That doesn't sound like a bad idea to me. If Formula One insists on running a Grand Prix, I don't see any reason why media personnel need to go along risking their lives, because teams are forced to go due to their contractual obligations, so they have to be there. But aside from Formula One teams and medical personnel, I think everybody else is optional, and perhaps the media would be wise to stand back and not do that.
I think it's really difficult, though, because people make their living off this. I mean, everyone, lots of fans are talking about boycotting and everything, and I think it's good to make a stand if that's how you feel. But already I'm thinking, well, yeah, but, you know, I have site things to do, and there's thoughts of books in my head, you know, perhaps I do need to watch it, perhaps I need to know everything that goes on, and I'm just, you know, doing this as a hobby. So people that make their living off it are going to struggle if they're not there.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we're not in that position. Each individual has to make that choice. I like that MTV have decided that it's not for them. Formula One personnel shouldn't need to be put in a situation where they're not comfortable with going to a race. But Bernie and the Bahrain circuit organisers have forced their hand, which is a shame. Are you going to watch the race? What do you think?
Well, yeah, exactly. I don't know.
Haven't decided.
China first.
It's not as clear cut as last year. I know that this time last year, or it was early in the season, wasn't it? But when this decision was coming around in 2011, it was more clear cut that there were very bad things happening in Bahrain. Amnesty International, I think today, said that the situation hasn't improved. But as an outsider looking in, it's very hard to see. The news isn't covering it as much as it did this time last year. There's not as much information available as this time last year.
And all the information is coming from people that have an agenda.
Everybody has an agenda. Absolutely. In this, with the exception of Amnesty International, no, even they haven't. Everybody has an agenda. It's just the way of the world. And it's just a shame that Formula One cannot see sense enough to think, well, there's so many question marks over this. Do we need to be there? We don't need to be there. There's enough races in the calendar. You know, no one will miss Bahrain. Nobody will miss Bahrain. Absolutely nobody will say, oh my God, we've been robbed of a brilliant race. It's going to be an awful blinking procession. The track is dreadful at the best of times. It was the worst race whenever it was on the calendar, opened the calendar. Was it 2010 when it started the season? It was just the worst start to a season you could possibly imagine. I hate the Bahrain circuit. I have no interest in watching cars race this, so it's no great shakes to miss it, is it really?
Even if you're not boycotting it, probably best not to watch anyway.
Regardless of a boycott, it's just a rubbish race.
One last thing we had to mention. We had some discussion at some point over the last few weeks where people weren't sure whether they could read my books, because I write books, you know, because they didn't have a Kindle. And we just wanted to reiterate that you can read Kindle books anywhere, on anything, all the time.
And we love the Kindle more than ever before, given the you've had a terrible experience this past couple of weeks with Apple's
iTunes bookstore. Don't talk to me about the iBook
store. Yeah, your new book isn't available in the iBook store because Apple are
rubbish,
so shockingly awful. However,
horrible.
We do...
Yes. Useless.
I touched the nerve. I'm sorry. Forget I mentioned that. Let's talk about the Kindle, which is sweetness and light and all things lovely.
Yeah. So when I say I have a book and it is available for the Kindle on Amazon, you don't have to have a Kindle to read it, which is brilliant. I think Amazon have done such a good thing with this Kindle everywhere, because you can download Kindle Reader, I suppose they call it, for your Mac, for your PC, for your iPad, iPhone, on all kinds of Android phones and probably others.
The thing is with Kindle readers, you don't even need to download anything anymore. It's just, you can read your books within the Amazon website.
It's on the browser too.
It's entirely, you can read a book entirely within your browser on any device, be it a tablet, be it a phone, be it at your desktop. It doesn't matter. You don't have to buy a physical Amazon piece of hardware to read your books. They can be read absolutely anywhere. Anywhere that's connected online, anything with a screen, you'll be able to read your books. So don't be put off by the term Kindle. Kindle is a much greater, wider, more vast concept than an ebook reader. It's an entire content solution, and it's fantastic. And you can publish your books, and they don't give you loads of grief, and you love them for it. And hopefully you'll be releasing some more books soon, because I know you're busy writing them, and you're such a... You're so busy.
I am so busy.
We must stop recording this soon so you can get back to it.
Yes. Yeah, because we were going to do a show last Friday, which was a bank holiday, but then I had to work, like, for a living.
Bless
work.
You.
So that was weird. And then all the rest of the time, I'm busy writing away, coming up with new and
it's
exciting things.
Just non-stop. But the best thing about this year, it doesn't matter how busy we get, when the racing is this good, when the on-track action is so exciting... It doesn't matter, does it? You can happily put in more hours. You can skip a few hours sleep. You can come home from work and you can work harder than, you know, you ever imagined possible, because the racing gives you that enjoyment back. And it's been, I feel like it's been missing for a while. At the end of last year, it wasn't as good as it was at the beginning. But right now, I'm very much into Formula One in 2012. What year is it? 2012.
Your blood pressure's rising again, isn't it?
I got excited. I'm looking forward to Sunday's race. Some weather that might spice up the action. It's still not clear who's going to be where. Lewis Hamilton was on fire during free practice. He looked glued to the racetrack.
Schumacher, you mean?
Lewis Hamilton. Do we know?
I'm sure you mean Schumacher.
Do we know if Lewis's five place gearbox thing drop was a given? Now is that it was up in the air again? It was under discussion.
Five place gearbox thing drop. Yeah, that I think that is definitely happening.
This is why you do F1 minute.
I saw a tweet from someone that said
F1 5 minutes.
He wasn't running with the old gearbox, so I think that gearbox has definitely gone.
So it's a five place drop. So, that is a shame. We may be robbed of a great run from Lewis, but he will have to fight back, and he has the car to fight back with, which is good. I think Mercedes is going to do very well in qualifying and then go nowhere in the race.
Wrong.
No, I'm not.
No.
You're definitely wrong.
I'm wrong.
I don't know who's going to win, but I know who isn't.
Fine.